This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With former prosecutor and guest Lori Gilbertson.
When your son returns home and his fiance does not return with him, it can be a little bit of alarming if you're a parent, and especially if that fiance was actually living in your house with your son and you and your family. You think you'd be a little bit concerned, maybe want to go take a look, maybe not go on a camping trip with your son at that exact moment in time and avoid any sort of, I don't know, assistance with law enforcement trying to find the missing fiance. But that's pretty much what happened in the case of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry and the family of Brian Laundry. It's a case that just kind of makes you shake your head. I can't say what I would do if I were a parent in that situation. I want to think I would do the right thing, but again, never been in that sort of a situation. So I can't be too judgmental, but it's hard not to be in a case like this. Lori Gilbertson, former prosecutor, joining us to discuss this. Some of the new pieces that we're just learning right now is that the Laundry family allegedly got a call from Brian early on saying that Gabby was gone, quote unquote. Now, gone, I guess, you know, didn't mean anything, but in the context of this, probably dead. And they didn't say anything, and neither did their attorney for quite some time. It's all being civilly litigated right now. Lori, is this something where we're getting into the territory of possible criminal charges at some point for the Laundries, or does this still stay in the territory of civil litigation and parents who just really made horrible decisions?
You know, you're talking about shaking your head, and I think I'm looking at myself on camera, just kind of shaking my head here. Like, it's just heartbreaking to think about, because they're not the only parents who are involved in this. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's Gabby's parents who are involved here, whose daughter is missing, who Brian knows she's missing, and the parents know she's missing. And soon the lawyer that they contact knows that she's missing. And by missing, I think they were all fairly clear on exactly what that meant. Mm-hmm. And that being gone didn't mean they were going to find her. Being gone meant that she was dead, most likely at his hands. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't know all the conversations he's had with them and shared with them. There are cases, you know, that go back years and years that you look at parents trying to protect their children. And I have certainly prosecuted many cases of parents getting on the stand to lie for their children who have, you know, very obviously committed crimes. And to some extent, yeah, you do say it's kind of understandable, right? You want to protect your kids. You can look at it that way. But there's a line. And when the line goes over into the fact that most likely they knew their son committed a murder, and if he hadn't committed a murder, she was gone and was out there and needed to be found to give them the benefit of the doubt that way. And that's a line you don't cross.
Yeah.
And so here, you know, we call a lot of this in court under the frame of consciousness of guilt. Mm-hmm. You know, what are people doing that show that they know they have committed a crime and they are trying to avoid being held accountable for it? And when you look at what his parents did here, when you look at the actions that they took, it goes beyond just protecting their son in that kind of emotional way. They called the lawyer. They lied in the press. They lied about what they knew. And they didn't do anything that, had she still been alive, would have helped her be found. And certainly, there's a pretty strong civil case here. Mm-hmm. Whether it goes into something criminal, I really don't know. I think that would depend on us hearing more of the actions and inactions that they took. Obviously, they did not have a duty to do anything, but they did other things that could rise to a criminal level, just depending on the information we get.
It's not always where something is morally wrong makes it criminally wrong, essentially.
Correct.
In a case like this. Let's talk about the attorney, though, Stephen Bertolino. What sort of repercussions could possibly be there for him for getting this information that she's dead? And he's still releasing statements, hoping and praying, and I'm just paraphrasing, thoughts and prayers, basically, is what it was, that she's going to come back alive. Mm-hmm. But if you already know that she's not, does that put him in a situation where, does that affect him, his standing with the bar? Does that affect his standing as an attorney, having that sort of information and not overturning? Does that go beyond attorney-client privilege or something like that?
Yeah, it should go beyond attorney-client privilege. And I don't know if you hear the planes here, Tony. We've got some planes going here over my house in Colorado, so might be getting a little loud there. As an attorney, depending on the exact, canons of legal conduct that he's held to, I certainly think that should raise an inquiry against him, and certainly should raise an inquiry as to him, whether he was kind of crossing the line there in terms of everything that he was saying to the press. It is one thing for his client to tell him something. And if Brian came to him or the Laundries did to say, this is what happened, and admitted this is what happened, obviously he has to keep that privilege. Mm-hmm. But going into the press, which then leads to, finances put out for a hunt, which then leads to all sorts of other media, beyond just the moral kind of repugnance of giving hope to a family when you know there is no hope.
Yeah.
I think certainly can cross some legal lines, and whether he loses his law license or not, I don't know. It certainly looks like in the civil case, there's enough evidence that he will be found liable for something. And that would probably automatically launch an inquiry into his license that could lead to some sort of suspension or disbarment based on that conduct.
I mean, because we have to remember the context where all this happened. There wasn't any charges against Brian Laundrie at this point in time. It was still, she was missing. And that's what everyone knew. So it wasn't as if a criminal who was being prosecuted went and admitted to his attorney, I killed her. This is what I did. And then you have to go and try and defend that, which I don't believe you can do, right? If the client says to you, I did this, you can't go and then try and argue that they didn't do it, correct?
Well, here's where the line is. Like you said, there is the moral line, there's the legal line. And it's part of what keeps our justice system going, of course, and that everybody is entitled to a defense. So really how it goes is that a lawyer's ultimate allegiance, most people think that as a defense attorney, it is to your client to zealously represent and advocate for your client. And while that is an allegiance, ultimately your allegiance as a defense attorney is to the court and to the process of justice. And what that means is that you can't lie to the court. So if your client says, I did this, and you put him on the stand and he says, I didn't do this, and you know that he did as the attorney, generally you can't do that. You cannot suborn perjury. That is lying to the court. However, and you can't promote that. You can't support it. You can't advocate for it. However, as a defense attorney, you can certainly poke all the holes that you need to, and as many as you can in the prosecution's case, because that is zealously representing your client. That is holding the prosecution to their burden of beyond a reasonable doubt. So in this case, there's that line between, morally, what do you do? And legally, what is this attorney obligated to do? And in this case, for sure, I feel and can see that there are some real issues with his conduct, because he is going out there and basically lying.
Yeah. Certainly a lot of gray areas in this case. We'll have to see where it all plays out in the end.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.